from Simon Field on the campus of DC Everest. I'm Chris Conley, and hello, late-night baseball lovers. We're on tape delay today for the DC Everest Evergreens and the Merrill Blue Jays. It's an important game for both of these teams. The winner will have sole possession of second place with only one more game left in the regular season. And because of the late start, we're joining right at first pitch, so let's get right to the Merrill Blue Jays, the visiting team's starting batting order. Mason Reinhart will lead off and play third base. Alex Zettler bats second in left field. Ty Grunewald is the shortstop, and he'll bat third. Alex Klug is the catcher, batting fourth. Dave Pufall, who was the starting pitcher in a win over these Evergreens earlier in the season, plays center field today and bats fifth. Adam Messerschmidt is in right field. He'll bat sixth. Brad Yulke, the first baseman, bats seventh. Cole Guskey plays second base. He'll bat eighth. Brian Stockowitz is the starting pitcher for the Blue Jays. He'll bat ninth. And they'll face Brady Burrell, the Evergreens' number one pitcher with a 5-2 record. The Evergreens' defense in the outfield, Mike Plaza's in left, Wyatt Brown in center. Sean Lutke gets the start in right. In the infield, Cody Cocker is today's third baseman. Alex Kell is at shortstop. Nathan Sleaford's the second baseman, and Josh Merchant starts at first. The battery for the Evergreens on a six-game winning streak. Mason Hagenbusher catches, Brady Burrell pitches. Both teams at 5 wins, 5 losses in Valley Conference play. The reason why this game really is for second place is what lies ahead for both of these teams on Thursday. The Evergreens will wrap up their conference schedule against last place Wausau East. That's a likely win. Merrill wraps up their conference schedule against undefeated Stevens Point, a likely loss. The team that wins today controls their own destiny and will likely finish in second behind the Spash Panthers. Brady Burrell is completing his warm-up tosses. We start on a humid and cloudy afternoon. 73 degrees at first pitch, and Mason Reinhart is ready to step in for Merrill.
Number 10, Mason Reinhart.
This could not be more different than when these teams met for the first time in the season. It was a cold, miserable night in early April. We started that game with temperatures in the 40s, and then they had a JV game that started at 7 afterwards where it dipped into the 30s. Brady Burrell's first pitch, a fastball, and Reinhart swings and misses. We're underway. Glad that you're up late with us. We have one more situation later in the season where woodchucks in the early evening will force a high school game into the late evening. We'll tell you about that in just a moment. Burrell misses up high. It's 1-1. The time that this will happen again is a week from today, on Tuesday, in the first round of the playoffs. We will carry the Everest playoff game live, so that pitch is fouled back into the catcher's glove, 1-2. And we'll put the Wausau East game against these Merrill Blue Jays in the first round of the playoffs. We'll put that as the late-night tape delay game. Regardless, we are glad that you are up late. This should be an entertaining ball game. And here's Brady Burrell's 1-2 pitch, and that one's wasted, fouled back into the screen. Evergreens play Reinhart straight away. Zettler awaits on deck, and Ty Grunewald is one of the leading batters in the Valley Conference who awaits in the hole here. Brady Burrell looks in and gets his sign for his 1-2 pitch. Here it comes, tried to get him to chase off speed. Reinhart does not, but it's 2-2. Today's late evening Evergreens baseball game brought to you by Brainerd Funeral Home, helping people celebrate lives past with personalized funeral services. Brainerd Funeral Home, supporting DC Everest sports. Now here comes Burrell's 2-2 pitch. And that one misses up high. The count goes full. Brady at times looks like he's struggling with that release point. The mechanics weren't quite right on that fastball. So now he works full to Reinhart, and Brady Burrell is stepping off the mound. Brady Burrell wants the tongue depressor. He wants to get some of the mud out of his cleats here before delivering this 3-2 pitch. The field took a lot of rain over the three-day weekend. It was pouring here for a part of, late Monday afternoon and Monday night. Field is soft, and we spread some Diamond Dry here. Diamond Dry is one of the MVPs of this season. It's just been so wet throughout the entire year. Another season where Mother Nature has played games with our baseball schedule. Snow from last season, a little too wet this year. Burrell's ready. Here comes his 3-2 pitch. Up high, walked him. Maybe with a little more mud in the cleats. Could have had that one down a little bit. Burrell's been prone to walks. Evergreens had an early lead when these teams met the first time. the Evergreens did not hit later in the game. It seemed like as it got colder when we played up at Athletic Park, the Evergreens bats got colder. They dropped that April decision 8-5. Sean Lutke was the starting pitcher in that game, and the Evergreens draw Brady Burrell here, who throws over to first. Reinhardt dives back safely. Evergreens are playing this defensively, as if Merrill might try to sacrifice the runner over and play for an early lead. In fact, have the runner leaning there and throws over to first. Reinhardt was leaning in the wrong direction. Had to throw his momentum back towards the bag. Cody Cocker, the third baseman, is playing a step in on the dirt. Swinging away is Alex Zettler, and Zettler swings and misses strike one.
Mark's not there.
Now Zettler is looking down the third base line to get his sign. Well, with one strike, I would imagine he's swinging away here. Nope, what do I know? Bunting, and he pops it up in the air, and pitcher Brady Burrell catches it for the out. Poorly executed there by Alex Zettler. The runner, Mason Reinhardt, retreats safely to first. An attempted sacrifice is not, and Ty Grunewald will bat with a runner on first.
Ty Grunewald.
Grunewald is one of two players who are hitting above 400 on this Merrill team in conference play. Grunewald is hitting 471 against Valley opponents. That's in 10 games. Mike Plaza, on the other hand, for the Evergreens, we have stats for him for the entire season. So that's a 17-game sample, much larger than Valley Conference only. And Mike Plaza comes into today's game hitting 428. Another pickoff throw over to first, trying to keep Mason Reinhardt close. One out and one on. Here's the pitch to Grunewald, left-handed batter up high. And Mason Hagenbusher motions with the glove. Keep that pitch down. When last seen, these Evergreens were 14-7 winners over Lakeland, a game that was closer than the final score indicated. Lakeland kind of fell apart. Runner is going, and be a stolen base or a balk either way. Brady Burrell knew the runner was going and stopped his motion. And Mason Reinhardt advances to second base. Brady Burrell was going to go home, and then just suddenly stopped his motion when he realized the runner was almost halfway. Still waiting here on a 1-0 pitch. Here it comes to Grunewald, and there's a strike over. One ball, one strike. That was Brady Burrell's best pitch so far. This is a small quality of life problem that we are going to deal with the rain. Every mosquito within 15 miles of here has hatched. In the dugout, it's uncomfortable. Some of them are finding their way into our press box. 1-1 pitch. If that missed, it didn't miss by much. Brady Burrell was going for the outside corner with his fastball and didn't quite get it. He's behind two balls and a strike here. Evergreens Baseball is sponsored by Cloverbelt Credit Union, voted the best credit union in the Wausau Daily Herald Reader's Choice Awards, where your bank does make a difference. Explore the benefits at ccuwausau.com. Two balls and a strike, and Brady Burrell again is just off the plate. Three balls and one strike. Those last two pitches, both called balls, did not miss by much. But Brady Burrell is down 3-1 to a dangerous hitter here. Grunewald for the season also has two home runs. Evergreens had two homers in their win over Lakeland on Friday in that small ballpark up in Minocqua. Here comes the 3-1 pitch, and that is over for a strike. Grunewald thought it was ball four and was about to put the bat down and take first base. Instead, the hard-hitting lefty will have to take a 3-2 pitch here. Runner on second, one out. We are just underway in the top of the first inning, and here is Burrell's 3-2 pitch coming, and it is just outside. Burrell has issued two walks. Those are the two runners on first and second. Well, Brady Burrell was certainly around the strike zone on several of those pitches in the sequence to Grunewald. Here's Alex Klug. Klug in conference play is a 294 hitter. And Klug has a home run, too, this season. And the first pitch here misses up high. All right, Brady Burrell looks a little shaky here in this early start. We've seen this before, though. We've seen that he's had the ability, though, to right the ship and get himself settled down. It just hasn't happened just yet here in the early going. Burrell's taking a long time to get his sign here from Mason Hagenbusher. Throws behind the runner, almost got him. Boy, that was close at first base. Ty Grunewald didn't realize that the first baseman, Josh Merchant, who was playing off the bag, had snuck in behind him. And that was very close at first base. And our field umpire has a long look over there, and he's supposed to be in slot C, and he really isn't. Burrell misses up high. Two balls and no strikes. Alex Klug, the batter, steps out. Checks his sign down at third base and now steps back in. You know, Brady Burrell has thrown more balls than strikes here in this first inning. And he's about to deliver a 2-0 pitch. One out, two on, and that is on the outside corner. Two balls and a strike. And it looks like, down at third base, that this at-bat is being managed kind of closely. As Merrill tries to get some more runners on here in the early going. 2-1, you'd imagine that Klug would be swinging away here. And Brady Burrell looks that runner back at second. 2-1 pitch, fastball, swing, and a miss. Two balls and two strikes. The Evergreens are down to their final four games, including this one, of the regular season. Two more in conference, and then two at the Middleton Invitational, which is this coming Saturday, just outside of Madison. We believe that the opponents there will be Kimberly and the host team Middleton, which means we'll be playing on the big field down there. Here's the 2-2 pitch, and this is popped up in foul territory, and there's going to be a play here. Catcher Mason Hagenbusher behind the plate makes the catch, and there's the second out. So now Brady Burrell is one out away from getting out of this two-walk jam that he's put himself in. David Pufall will take his turn at bat. Pufall is a 367 hitter. This Merrill team is in second place for runs scored in Valley Conference play. They are in second to last, though, in runs allowed. So they score a lot, but give up a lot. That was certainly our experience the first time we played them. First pitch to Pufall is up high. Burrell's been behind in the count to almost everyone here in this first inning. And this first inning is taking a little while to get through. Since we have joined right at first pitch, we'll give you the Evergreens lineup once they come in to take their first at-bat here in the bottom of the first inning. Which is hopefully just one out away here. And the pitch is over for a strike. One ball and one strike. And the Blue Jay batters, at least early on, seem like they are willing to work the count, knowing that Brady Burrell has been a little bit wild here in the first inning. Maybe that approach changes as Brady throws more strikes. Seniors on this Evergreens team are guaranteed at least one more home game. They'll host the first-round playoff game against Rhinelander a week from today. 1-1 pitch, and that's fouled off down the third base line. Is there a play here for Mason Hagenbusher? He's looking, and no, just over the fence. A ball and two strikes now. Evergreens Baseball, sponsored by Baseman's Shoe and Clothing. For more than 80 years, Baseman's been supplying central Wisconsin with nose-to-toes protection. Stop in today for wool shirts, wool bibs, wool socks, and all of your hunting needs at Baseman's Shoe and Clothing. Muggy day like today, we'd prefer to wear as little wool as possible. One ball, two strikes, two outs. Brady Burrell's pitch, off-speed pitch, lined, foul down the third base line. Pufall waited on that, but couldn't quite get it straightened out, so we'll do one and two again. Mason Reinhardt is the runner at second. Ty Gruenwald is the runner at first. Both put there by walks. Merrill does not have the benefit of a hit here in this first inning. And Burrell comes set again. Here's his 1-2 pitch trying to work out of this inning, and it's a line drive to right field, a base hit. Mike Plaza plays it on one hop. They're going to try and score a run. There may be a play at the plate. Nope, the runner is in. The cutoff man, Josh Merchant, took a long time getting rid of that ball and relaying it to home, and the run scores on David Pufall's two-out single.
Right fielder, number 13, Adam Messerschmidt.
So one of those walks comes in to hurt the Evergreens. A two-out hit for David Pufall, and it's 1-0. Well, the Evergreens played from behind on Friday. In fact, there were four lead changes in the game that the Evergreens would eventually win over Lakeland, 14-7. On the very slow-developing throw to the plate, the runner advanced to third base. So there are runners on first and third here with two outs. for Adam Messerschmidt. Messerschmidt, right-handed batter against right-handed pitching, Brady Burrell. Here is the pitch, and it's on the outside corner. That's strike one. We know the Evergreens can score runs, just don't want to play too far from behind early on. And again, this is kind of a mess of the pitcher's doing, walking those two men earlier in the inning. Throw over to first, runner is back. David Pufall, who when he's not playing center field is a pitcher, knows that he can't get picked off here and snuff out his team's rally. Any kind of hit would bring in a second run for the Blue Jays. Here's Brady Burrell's 0-1 pitch. There's a swing and a miss, a tomahawk cut from Adam Messerschmidt. And he's down on the count, no balls and two strikes. Messerschmidt is looking down at third base, getting a sign from his coach. With two strikes, of course, he has to protect. The only question is, you're going to put the runner in motion here at first base. And Brady Burrell with the high set. The runner is going. 3-2 pitch, 3-0 pitch. 0-2 pitch is fouled off. He was all excited with that runner in motion, and that was going to be a strike. So Messerschmidt did have to swing and protect there. And it is still no balls, two strikes. And Brady Burrell now takes an extra look at that runner at first base, knowing that he was going before, not going here, and that's an off-speed pitch that misses low. One ball and two strikes. Taking a long time to get through this first half inning. Of course, we know that you are listening on tape delay. We can tell you that the Evergreens have been out in the field for 16 minutes here. One ball, two strikes. Runner is going. Call strike three. Outside corner. Messerschmidt is out, and the inning comes to an end. The Merrill Blue Jays get one run on one hit, and they benefit from two D.C. Everest walks. At the end of a half inning, Merrill won, and the Evergreens are coming up. Back in a moment on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9. I'm Chris Conley. Welcome back to Simon Field, where the Merrill Blue Jays scored one run in their half of the first inning, and the Evergreens are coming to bat. Here's the homestanding D.C. Everest Evergreens batting order. Leading off and catching is Mason Hagenbusher. Cody Cocker plays third base and bats second. Mike Plaza in left field bats third. Wyatt Brown gets another turn in cleanup spot. He's playing center field batting fourth. Brady Burrell, the pitcher, bats for himself and bats in the number five spot. It's Sean Lutke in right field batting sixth. Nathan Sleafert is the second baseman. He'll bat seventh. Josh Merchant at first base batting eighth, and Alex Kell is the shortstop batting ninth. For the Evergreens, 10-7 on the season, Hagenbusher, Cocker, Plaza, Brown, Burrell, Lutke, Sleafert, Merchant, and Kell to face Brian Stockowitz, 1-3 in conference play with a 5.25 earned run average. The defense behind him, Alex Zettler is in left field, David Pufall is in center, and Adam Messerschmidt, that's left to right for the Merrill Blue Jays. On the infield, Mason Reinhardt is the third baseman. Ty Gruenwald is the shortstop. Cole Dusky plays second base, and Brad Yulke plays first base. Alex Klug catches. Brian Stockowitz, right-hander, against left-handed batting Mason Hagenbusher to lead off. For a long time this season, Mason Hagenbusher was number two in team batting average. He's now fallen back to a second-place tie, along with Alex Kell. 333 for the season. And the first pitch is over for a strike from Brian Stockowitz. Evergreens look for some base runners here. 0-1 pitch. Off-speed pitch. Got under it. And it's a shallow fly ball to right field. Right fielder Adam Messerschmidt calls off his second baseman. Comes in and makes the catch for the first out.
Third baseman.
Hagenbusher kind of reached out for that.
Cody.
And here's Cody Cocker. Is the glass half full or half empty for Cody Cocker? Two errors in the field, also had a couple of hits when last seen against Lakeland. Cody Cocker for the season is hitting .254. First pitch misses for a ball. Evergreens Baseball is sponsored by Mallory and Zimmerman Attorneys at Law, proud supporters of local high school sports, wishing all area athletes a successful season. Cocker waits the 1-0 pitch. Bouncing ball to the second baseman. Cole Gusky positioned perfectly. Fields it cleanly and throws over to first. And that's the second out here in the bottom of the first
number
inning.
Number 7, Michael Plaza.
Michael Plaza did not have a hit during the trip up to Minocqua. 4.28 for the season, though. His 27 hits is tops on the team.
Yeah.
You have to go all the way back to 20 hits. Hagenbusher is in second place on this Everest roster. Mike Plaza bats with two outs and none on, and Stockowicz starts him off with an off-speed pitch that's down low. Like to see Mike Plaza be patient, get something he can handle here. And he bats in exactly the situation the Blue Jays want, with two outs and nobody on base. Plaza has shown late season power. Stockowicz overthrows that, and it's up high. Two balls, no strikes. And with a one-run lead and no one on base, you want to challenge Plaza here. 2-0 pitch coming. Fastball, and Mike Plaza hits it on a line. It's going to go into the gap. That's going to be extra bases. Another line drive hit for Mike Plaza. This one goes all the way to the wall. Second, he's going to stop there. Plaza could have had third if he wanted it. He needed to pick up his coach earlier, and he could have taken the extra base. Instead, no complaint about the hit. He hit that in a line all the way to the gap, and Mike Plaza with a two-out double for Wyatt Brown.
Brown. Okay, got a check mark for kissing a girl.
So the Evergreens have a two-out double. And here comes Wyatt Brown. Wyatt Brown for the season is hitting an even 200. That's 11 of 55. Plaza on second. Off-speed pitch to Wyatt Brown is a little inside for a ball. Stockowicz looked in there and kind of held his glare for a moment as if to wonder where that pitch was. Wyatt Brown figures to see a steady diet of off-speed pitches here, and he'll need a hit to the outfield to tie this ball game. 1-0 pitch, gets the fastball there, swings and misses. It's a ball and a strike. Evergreens Baseball on Fox Sports Radio, brought to you by Glen Ray Radiators. Quality and service go hand-in-hand at Glen Ray Radiators, serving the community since 1964. Glen Ray Radiators. Evergreens will next play on Thursday. You'll hear that game starting at 5 against Wausau East. Tom King will have the play-by-play. Wyatt Brown takes a fastball up high, two balls and a strike. When the Evergreens and Lumberjacks play, it's my game if we're playing at Everest. It's Tom's game if we're playing at East. And we are scheduled for East, and we say scheduled because that East field is always an adventure when it's wet. Swing and a miss, two balls, two strikes, Wyatt Brown. Brown got the fastball there and swung through it. Sometimes that's a problem, too. I mean, Wyatt Brown's had trouble with the off-speed stuff, so then it's a guessing game. What am I going to get? He was geared for something off-speed and got the fastball and swung and missed. 2-2 pitch here, off-speed pitch misses inside, three balls and two strikes. So far, we have not seen Stockowicz be able to throw that off-speed pitch for a strike. Should Wyatt Brown reach, Brady Burrell is on deck, and the pitcher will have a chance to help himself. Mike Plaza will be going with the pitch. 3-2 pitch, and Wyatt Brown gets under it and pops it up to shallow center field. This should end the inning. David Pufall is under it and makes the catch. And the Evergreens waste Mike Plaza's double with two outs. At the end of one inning, Merrill leads the Evergreens 1-0. Back in a moment on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9.
Seniors.
Evergreen seniors being introduced in between innings. Several of the seniors are already out in the field taking their between-inning warm-ups, including pitcher Brady Burrell, who was touched up for a run in the top of the first inning. He walked the number one and number three batters and then gave up that two-out hit to David Pufall. Burrell will face 7, 8, and 9 in the Blue Jays batting order. Brad Yulke to lead off. Yulke is the first baseman. He's a left-handed batter here. See if Brady Burrell can help himself by retiring this leadoff batter, one of the keys to success for pitching at the high school level. Brady Burrell's first pitch to Yulke is bounced low in the dirt for ball one. Today's Evergreens baseball game is brought to you by our website, everythingevergreens.com. If you're at the game, post your photos to everythingevergreens.com using the hashtag DC Everest. You can hear the play-by-play podcast and see game photos and blogs, too, at everythingevergreens.com. We're on tape delay like this tonight. If you're listening to our broadcast, you should also know that when we are tape delayed, we'll post the play-by-play podcast so you don't have to wait at everythingevergreens.com in real time. Burrell is behind two balls and no strikes. He missed with the second pitch in this sequence. Third pitch there is just outside, and Burrell looked in like he thought he was squeezed a little on that. He's behind 3-0. And, you know, sometimes when you're having trouble finding the plate, those close ones go against you. That may have been the case right there. Three balls, no strikes. And Burrell gets the high strike, 3-1. So far in this sequence, you know what? Ball three was a better pitch than strike one. No problem. We're at the same place. Three balls, one strike. Here comes the pitch, and Burrell misses down low. He walks the leadoff batter for the second inning in a row. Yulkey to first. And Cole Guskey to bat.
Cole Guskey.
Guskey is hitting a lighter 217. And Brian Stockowitz, who waits on deck 167. So hopefully Brady Burrell cannot give the free passes to the lighter hitting Blue Jays here with a runner on first and none out. Merrill already has a 1-0 lead. Playing in, batter's looking to bunt, gets this bunt down the first base line. This will be a successful sacrifice. Brady Burrell throws over to first base and gets Guskey. And Guskey, just like he was supposed to do, advances the runner to second base, gives himself up,
the pitcher,
and puts Yulkey on second in scoring position with one out for Brian Stockowitz. We started this game under cloudy skies, and it was very humid. We had some sprinkles of rain earlier today, although the heavier rains came yesterday and over the holiday weekend. Now, some sunshine's trying to break through. Brian Stockowitz, the pitcher, trying to help himself with that runner at second, and Brady Burrell starts him with an off-speed pitch that our umpire indicates is just outside. So far, not only has Brady Burrell had some trouble finding the plate, the strike zone seems to be a little small today. Burrell comes set and checks that runner at second. Here's the pitch. That's on the outside corner. It's one ball, one strike. D.C. Everest versus Merrill Baseball, sponsored by CoVantage Credit Union. You step into more cash with a car loan from CoVantage Credit Union. A ball and a strike with one out in the top of the second. Merrill's got a runner on second. Here it comes. Swing and a miss. Ball gets away from the catcher, and the runner's going to advance. A pass ball here on Mason Hagenbusher. Pitch wasn't wild. On the swing and miss, it came right out of Hagenbusher's glove and bounced away down the first base line. Runner moves up 90 feet here. It's a ball and two strikes, and the Evergreens will continue to play the infield back, which means they'd give up a run here on a ground ball in exchange for the out. Want to keep out of a big inning here in the early stages of this ball game. Burrell can help himself with a strikeout. 1-2 pitch, got him to chase a high fastball, swing and a miss, strike three. And Brian Stockowitz is Burrell's second strikeout victim. And more importantly, he is the second out here in the second inning. Here comes Mason Reinhart. Reinhart walked and came all the way around to score the game's only run. Was able to steal a base and then come in on David Pufall's two-out single. Try and bring in a run here with two outs and a runner on third base. First ball swinging and it's popped up behind the plate. Is there a play here? Nope, over the backstop and into the crowd for strike one. The Evergreens have kind of a busy stretch to close out this season. And you figure they'll be in action 2 days from now. This being a short week after the Memorial Day holiday. And then an early bus ride down to Middleton outside the Madison area to play Kimberly at a neutral field, and then the home team Kimberly in their annual season-ending invitational. Pitch from Burrell there is down low. Good stop by Mason Hagenbusher. Got down with both of those knees to make sure that pitch wasn't wild. It's a ball and a strike. And now the area around home plate, so muddy and dirty there that Hagenbusher, the catcher, gets to pick out the best of the baseballs from the umpire's ball bag. That's the one that gets put back in play to Brady Burrell. Runner on third, two outs. And Burrell looks in. He's about to offer a 1-1 pitch to Mason Reinhart. Here it comes, and that is on the outside corner. Pitcher's pitch there for Brady Burrell, a ball and two strikes. Burrell has walked two and has struck out two. Could help himself here. He's one pitch away from stranding that runner at third. And Brady Burrell checks that runner. Here he comes home, and that off-speed pitch missed not by much. I guess he left that a little up high. It's 2-2. Today's ball game on Fox Sports Radio and on everythingevergreens.com is sponsored by the Bone and Joint Center. Comprehensive orthopedic, podiatry, spine, and sports medicine care with clinics in Wausau, Medford, and Merrill. Visit us online at bonejoint.net. Count is even to 2 balls, 2 strikes. Here it comes, and that is, ooh, that's close, and Brady Burrell cannot get that third strike there. I guess that was a little low. 3 balls, 2 strikes. Evergreens are hoping that they can benefit from this tight strike zone when they are on the bat. Instead, we've come to 3 balls, 2 strikes. Runner on third, big pitch coming, swing, and foul back. Do it again. And now with the sun getting through these clouds at Simon Field, suddenly it's warm and humid. Always felt a little muggy today. And now it just feels like the temperature's gone up 5 or 10 degrees even since we started. We're playing the top of the second. 3-2 pitch coming again, and there's a line drive. It is hit to left field, and that is going to get down for extra bases to left field. Mike Plaza unable to catch up with that ball. It's a double for Mason Reinhart. And again, timely hitting with 2 outs plates a run for the Merrill Blue Jays. They take a 2-1 lead.
Number 5, Alex Zettler.
Mason Reinhart hit that on a line to left field, and Mike Plaza was unable to catch up with it. So he gets himself an RBI, and the Evergreens are down 2-0. Alex Zettler was supposed to bunt his first time up. Instead, he popped the ball up, and Brady Burrell was able to get off the mound and make a play on it. So an unsuccessful sacrifice attempt for Zettler his first time up. He'll bat here trying to pick up another run for the Blue Jays with that runner out at second base. 2-out double for Mason Reinhart to make it 2-0. Pitch there is bounced in front of the plate. Good stop again by Mason Hagenbusher, the catcher. Evergreens are trying to avenge an earlier 8-5 loss to these Merrill Blue Jays. And so far down by 2 runs. It's early. Brady Burrell comes set. Looks that runner at second, pretty big lead out there. Off-speed pitch, fouled back. A ball and a strike. I guess what's frustrating is that Brady Burrell thought that he had strike 3 on Reinhart, didn't quite get the call. And then 2 pitches later, fouled one off, took another ball, and then lined that extra base hit to left field. Cost the Evergreens another run. That's the whole game of inches thing. 1 ball, 1 strike here. 2 outs in the top of the second, and here's another line drive. This is going to fall in front of center fielder Wyatt Brown. They're going to try and score the runner from third. Nope, the stop sign comes up, and Wyatt Brown with a big throw to the plate. He hit his catcher on a line, and the Blue Jays decided not to try and send that runner from second base and have him come all the way around. On the throw to the plate that was not cut off, though, Alex Zettler goes into second base. So Zettler singles and moves to second on a throw. And with 2 outs, the Blue Jays have men on second and third for Ty Gruenwald. And Gruenwald, probably the most dangerous batter in this Merrill lineup. Left-handed hitter. And the Evergreens, you know, you would think with a lefty you would shade more towards right, and they don't. They keep right fielder Sean Lutke more towards right center. The Evergreens use those spray charts on the bench, so they must know what they want positioned here. Pitch to Gruenwald is down low. Merrill has 2 runs in on 3 hits, and they have runners on second and third with 2 outs. This is a big batter for early in the ballgame. You figure with a hit, the Evergreens could potentially fall behind by 4 runs here. Pitch is over for a strike. 1 ball, 1 strike. The Merrill hits belonging to Pufall in the first inning, and Reinhart and Zettler here in the second. A ball and 2 strikes with 2 outs. Pitch to Gruenwald. This one's popped up behind home plate. Out of play. That's strike 2. A ball and 2 strikes. Well, Brady Burrell ahead in the count, which has not happened a lot so far in this ballgame. A lot of options. I don't think you want to throw Grunewald a strike here. You want to try and get him to chase. Don't want to get burned by giving a pitch that's too fat when you're ahead in the count here. One ball, two strikes, and Grunewald gets a pretty good pitch and bounces it foul down the first base line. Burrell at least pitched him inside, even though it looked like he gave him the fastball, and that came off near the handle of the bat and was punched up the first base line and just in foul territory by a couple of feet. Josh Merchant over there. Merchant plays off the bag here. And Brady Burrell looks in and gets his sign. His 1-2 pitch is coming. Here it comes. And there is a well-hit ball to right field. Going all the way back is our right fielder. Going to the wall. It is off the wall on a fly. An extra base hit that's going to clear the bases. Two runs are in, and it's a long triple off the right center field wall for Ty Grunewald. 4-0 Merrill. Back-to-back-to-back hits, all coming with two outs here in the second inning. And the Merrill Blue Jays have the early advantage here over the D.C. Everest Evergreens. That was a little bit too good of a pitch with two outs. Although Grunewald, a good hitter, took that and did what he wanted to do with it. Sent that all the way out to near the 370 mark and hit it off the wall on a fly. For a moment, it looked like that one had a chance to go out of the ballpark. So Merrill with three runs in here in the second and now leads 4-0. Alex Klug becomes the batter with a runner on third base. Brady Burrell trying to limit the damage here, at least not make it worse than what's already done. First pitch to Klug, and that is over for a strike. Burrell took something off of that, like he really wanted to get ahead of the batter here, and he did. Brady Burrell trying to battle. Evergreens, you get the feeling against the Merrill pitcher Stockwitz are going to score some runs here. Here's a check swing, hits the batter in the batter's box. That's strike two. Klug popped out to the catcher in foul territory during his first at-bat. He is the seventh Blue Jay to bat. Again, all of this coming with two outs. Brady Burrell again walked one of the batters that came around. So two of the three men that he's walked have come in to score. 0-2 pitch. Here's a ground ball slowly to Cody Cocker at third. Bobbles for a moment, throws to first, and gets him by a step. Boy, the Evergreens needed that out, and they got it. And that brings the inning to a close. Merrill gets three runs on three hits. And at the end of 1.5 innings, the Blue Jays lead the Evergreens 4-0. Back in a minute on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9. Welcome back to Simon Field. If you're listening to us on AM 1390 or FM 93.9, you know that we are on tape delay, a game that started at 5 o'clock this afternoon under cloudy skies with now lots of sunshine breaking through. So far, some clouds, though, over the Evergreens as they trail 4-0, Merrill touching them up for a run in the first inning and then scoring three more, all with two outs in the second inning.
In the bottom of the second inning.
I have blogged and have said on these broadcasts before that my gut tells me that the Evergreens are a better team than the Blue Jays. Merrill is 9-11 overall. The Evergreens are 10-7. But at least so far, though, that's just not the way this game is playing out. Lots of time left. The Evergreens are up here in the bottom of the second. Burrell, Lutke, and Sleaford. So it's Brady Burrell against Stockwitz. Pitches inside, and it goes off Brady Burrell's bat for a strike. I think that inside pitch went off Brady Burrell's bat. Otherwise, it was a ball. Well, let's see. At least that's what I saw and thought I heard. Brady Burrell is second ball swinging, and this is a fly ball to right field. High fly, right fielder under it. Kind of struggled to make that catch, made it over the shoulder. And Adam Messerschmidt wasn't pretty, but he gets Brady Burrell on what looked like a routine fly ball that almost looked like it was misplayed out there.
On Lutke.
So Brian Stockwitz has fouled off, has retired, four of the first five Evergreens that he's faced. And here comes Sean Lutke. Lutke was the starting pitcher on that cold night up in Merrill from earlier in the season. Lutke takes the first pitch. It's strike one. Lutke for the season is 10 of 35, 286 batting average. That pitch misses down low. It's one ball and one strike. Sunlight right at our eyes as we play this late afternoon game in real time. Lutke waits on Stockiewicz 1-1 pitch. That's up high, two balls and a strike. Stockiewicz thought that was a strike, so both pitchers trying to adjust to the tight strike zone today. Stockiewicz is right back on the rubber, though. Here is his 2-1 pitch, and that one from Lutke is fouled back into the screen. It's 2-2. Evergreens Baseball is brought to you by Tulusty & Kennedy SC, attorneys at law. They say, we're here to help. Tulusty & Kennedy representing Evergreens fans with professionalism and integrity. Call Tulusty & Kennedy SC, attorneys at law, for a free consultation. 2-2 pitch misses down low, and it's three balls, two strikes to Lutke. Evergreens will take a base runner any way they can get him, trailing 4-0. Lutke would love to work out a walk here. Stockiewicz ready to deliver a 3-2 pitch with one out, and that is fouled just over our broadcast position, right over the press box down the third baseline. So we'll do it again. Not sure if the weather is going to cooperate with us for our Thursday game. We're forecasting, at least for now, cloudy skies and maybe 80 degrees. And Sean Lutke has just worked out a 3-2 walk. The payoff pitch was up high from Stockiewicz. Lutke becomes the Evergreens' second base runner.
22.
One out and a man on for Nathan Sleafert. Evergreens are going to need to do some hitting and get some more base runners here, trailing 4-0. Nathan Sleafert is 7 of 36, 194, but that's a deceiving 194. He has hit much better in the last week of this season and got off to a very cold start. Sleafert for a time was 1 of 17, so since then he's hit much better. And first pitch up high to Sleafert for a ball. Today's broadcast is sponsored by DeVorney Orthodontics. See more than a smile, see DeVorney Orthodontics, 715-842-5688. DeVorney Orthodontics is also online at DeVorneyOrthodontics.com. Runner on with one out, and here comes the 1-0 pitch. Sleafert hits that on a line that got under it a little bit to left field, and it's a foul ball. Foul down the left field line in that corner, that one corner that we have trouble seeing here from the press box. Our broadcast position, again, is between home plate and third base. And that extreme part of the left field corner is just a little out of our view. We'd almost have to stick our head out the window or maybe climb on the table here. We don't do that sort of thing. Instead, it's a ball and a strike to right-handed batting Nathan Sleafert, trying to move that runner at first. Runner is going here. Sleafert hit and run, pops it up in the infield. And the first baseman is calling and makes the catch. And Sean Lutke, the runner, is going to have to retreat. There are two outs. Evergreens were trying to hit and run and get that man into scoring position, and they are unable to.
Number 18.
So Sleafert cannot move the runner over, and Josh Merchant bats with two outs and a man on first base. Evergreens trying to get something going with two outs, just like the Merrill Blue Jays did. Looked like Brady Burrell was going to get out of that second inning unscathed, then gave up back-to-back singles, and then a long triple, all coming with two outs. See if the Evergreens can return the favor here. Big Josh Merchant, right-handed batter, takes his first pitch. First ball swinging and lines it into center field. That's a base hit for Josh Merchant. Merchant also got off to a very slow start and may be starting to heat up down the stretch, too. Evergreens play at one base at a time. Lutke stops at second base. And with two outs, there are runners on first and second for Alex Kell. And for the bottom part of the order, Alex Kell, you're just fine with having him up. 333 batting average for the season. Alex Kell is far better than what you would expect from many other teams' number nine hitters. Hit here to the outfield could bring in a run. Alex Kell is first ball swinging and fouls it off for a strike. That's the first time that Brian Stockiewicz, the Merrill pitcher, finds himself in a little bit of trouble. Merrill owns the hit column, 4-2. Evergreens had a double from Mike Plaza in the first inning, and now that just recent single from Josh Merchant. Pitch here, hit him, and the bases are loaded. Alex Kell took an inside pitch that hit him in the knee. And now, for Mason Hagenbusher, top of the Evergreens batting order, the bases are loaded after the hit batsman.
Number 35, Mason Hickenbusher.
Sean Lutke is at third. Josh Merchant is at second. And Alex Kell just hit by the pitch. A slow-moving pitch. Got himself over to first base. Almost surprised that Merrill didn't make an argument that he should have done more to get out of the way there. It was a slow pitch, and he just kind of stood there and let it hit him there. First pitch to Mason Hagenbusher, up high for a ball. And the pressure here has to be on Stockiewicz to throw a strike. Down 4-0. Let's see if Mason Hagenbusher gets to swing away or if he gets to take a pitch. He looked like he was okay to swing there, but the pitch is down low. It's 2-0. And that didn't miss by much either. So with the bases loaded and a small strike zone, Mason Hagenbusher, who had the green light before, looks like he's going to get one to hit here. Stockiewicz comes set, 3-2 pitch, and it's a bouncing ball to second base. They're going to get out of the inning. Cole Guskey fields it cleanly and throws on to first. The Evergreens leave the bases loaded and do not score. At the end of the second inning of play, it's Merrill 4, D.C. Everest nothing. Back in a minute on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9.
No errors and three left on.
Top of the third inning is on from Simon Field. I'm Chris Conley. And the Merrill Blue Jays are coming up, trying to build on a 4-0 lead. So the pressure here is on Brady Burrell. Really can't afford to give up any more runs here. And he will face 5, 6, and 7 in the Merrill batting order. That's Pufall, Messerschmidt, and Yolke. It was Pufall's RBI single with two outs in the first that got Merrill the first of their four runs. And Brady Burrell is just completing his warm-up pitches, and we'll tell you that Evergreens Baseball is brought to you by Easy Living Management. They are the longest-running rental management company in the area. Let Easy Living Management make managing your rental property easy. Taking longer than expected for Brady Burrell to complete his warm-up tosses. There is his final pitch.
Leading off for
and Mason Hagenbusher throws down to second to complete the warm-up, so now we're ready to get the top of the third inning underway. Yeah, I mean, when you fall behind, I mean, in a game like this, I mean, the Evergreens can come back from four runs down. That's within their wheelhouse. You don't want to find yourself down by five, six, or seven. So that's the pressure here that Brady Burrell puts on himself. First ball hitting, and this is well hit to right field. Michael Plaza lost it in the sun. He got twisted around, and it falls in. It's a double to lead off the inning. Yeah, Michael Plaza, I don't think, saw that ball. I mean, he turned around 360 trying to locate that ball, sensing that maybe it was near his head. In fact, it was over his head. And Dave Pufall has a leadoff double. Nothing has gone right in this ball game for the Evergreens so far. Adam Messerschmidt now to bat. That is Merrill's fifth hit. Mike Plaza, of course, is in the lineup more for his bat than for his glove. He had an error in the Friday game up in Lakeland. That's not an error. That's just not seeing the baseball. You would hope after turning around or perhaps just shielding your eyes that you'd be able to pick that up, and that was not the case for Plaza. The ball was too far over his head at that point, and the pitch to Adam Messerschmidt is a ball. None out, and that runner on second as the Evergreens are in danger here of falling further behind, already trailing 4-0. Here's the pitch, and that's down low. Two balls, no strikes. Messerschmidt was a strikeout victim his first time up. Brady Burrell battled out of that first inning by getting Messerschmidt looking at a pitch on the outside corner. Messerschmidt, the batter, is ahead 2-0 in the count here. Check that runner at second, coming home. Pitch is over for a strike. One ball and two strikes. If that runner reaches third base, the Evergreens are almost going to have to play the infield in. I mean, how far behind can you fall in this game where really second place in the conference is on the line? 2-1 pitch. Burrell coming home, swing and a miss. Got him right over the top of that fastball. Maybe that's not even a fastball. Maybe that's a hard cutter. That had the regular velocity, but that pitch had a little bit of a break to it. Nice pitch from Brady Burrell. Two balls, two strikes. And, of course, after that leadoff double, the strikeout sure would help if Brady Burrell can get Adam Messerschmidt here. 2-2. Here it comes. And it's a ground ball to third, just foul, wide of the bag. kind of out in front of that and kind of topped it foul. Evergreens Baseball, sponsored by Ministry St. Clair's Hospital, a proud sponsor of Evergreen Sports, because the world needs more great teams. Get to know us better at ministryhealth.org. Messerschmidt is getting his sign from his third base coach. They're going to let Messerschmidt swing away here with two strikes. You could almost make an argument. You know, a 5-0 lead, move that runner over to third, sacrifice. He's got to put the ball in play here. 2-2, and that's fouled back into the screen. We'll do it again. As we mentioned earlier in the broadcast, there's only one conference game after today left for each of these teams. The Evergreens will be on the road against Wausau East. Merrill will be on the road against Spash. Spash, in that game Thursday, will be bidding for a perfect conference season.
Yep.
And Burrell offers again his 2-2 pitch. That misses up high, and the count goes full. So now Burrell is in danger of losing Messerschmidt. Burrell steps off the mound to get the ball back from catcher Mason Hagenbusher and now walks back to toe the rubber, as if Brady Burrell wants a little more time to get himself set. Looks in, and his payoff pitch is coming with none out. Here it comes. Swing and a miss. Brady Burrell gets the strikeout that he really needed. Messerschmidt is down on strikes for the second time in the ballgame, and there's the first out.
Batting for Merrill.
Failed to move that runner over. David Pufall still there at second base. Brad Yulke walked his first time up. In fact, he was the leadoff batter in the second inning. Walked and then came around on the three consecutive hits put together by the top of the order, all with two outs. He's first ball swinging here and fouls that one off for strike one. You know, if Merrill leaves that runner stranded out at second base, they're going to kick themselves for not trying to move him over from third and playing small ball to build on this lead. Blue Jays are already up 4-0. But that also assumes a lot because there is still only one out here in the top of the third. Brady Burrell sets. Here's his pitch. Off-speed pitch, and that's topped foul. No balls, two strikes now to Yulke.
And he's a decent hitter.
Yulke for the season, 259. Yulke is, of all the runners that have been put on base by Brady Burrell, he's allowed three walks here. Yulke is the one you really don't like. He walked to lead off the second inning. Advanced on a sacrifice, moved over to third on a pass ball. This one's topped down the first base line. Fielding here is Merchant, who takes it to the base himself. That is the second out, but the runner moves from second to third on the slow-rolling ground out. Now there are two down, and the Evergreens will try and get Cole Guskey to get out of the inning. All of Merrill's runs have scored with two outs in this game. So the Evergreens will have to buckle down here, knowing that even with the two outs, they can still get burned. And after giving up runs in the first and second inning, being able to get out of this by able to hang up a zero here would be a moral victory for Brady Burrell and the Evergreens defense.
Decent, right?
So here's Guskey's first pitch, and he fouls it off for a strike. D.C. Evers Baseball is sponsored by Country Fresh Meats. When it comes to the best meat, no one does it better than Country Fresh Meats on the corner of Highways 29 and J in Weston.
Yeah.
And Brady Burrell again looking in, getting his sign from catcher Mason Hagenbusher. Two outs with a runner on third, and the Evergreens already trailing 4-0. 0-1 pitch is on the way, and that just misses down low. It's a ball and a strike. And Brady Burrell becomes very deliberate, takes his time when he's got that runner on base. And the pace of Brady Burrell's work is almost slowed to a crawl here, as if he knows that this is a tight spot. One ball, one strike, there is a pitcher's pitch. On the outside corner with a hard fastball. It's a ball and two strikes. Burrell has struck out three Blue Jays, and he's one strike away from stranding that runner at third base. One of these pitches that Brady Burrell needs. He's needed a couple of them. 1-2 delivery coming after checking the runner. Off speed, left it up high. It's two balls and two strikes. Hoping that maybe Guskey would chase something up high and in his eyes, he did not. Instead, deuces wild. Two balls, two strikes, and two outs in this 4-0 game. Burrell again, long look over that runner. 3-2 pitch. That was a good pitch, and it's fouled off down the first baseline. Count stays at 2 balls and 2 strikes. The Evergreens left the bases loaded in their half of the second inning and got nothing. They will have numbers 2, 3, and 4 in their batting order coming up in the bottom of this inning. And they'd like the hole that they have to dig out of not to be any worse than what it is right now. 4-0. A little cat and mouse here. Guski stepped out. Brady Burrell stepped off. And now pitcher and batter look like they're just about ready. 2-2 pitch is coming again. Here it is. And it's fouled off again. So Guski is turning out to be a pretty tough customer here. Burrell got to 2 strikes and has seen 2 pitches that would have been strikes wasted and fouled away. This will be the 7th pitch in the at-bat to Guski. And here it comes, 2-2, and that just misses down low. Burrell took something off, hoping that Guski would chase, and he would not. 3 balls and 2 strikes. Brian Stockiewicz on deck, should the inning continue. Again, Guski and Stockiewicz, both with low batting averages, so you hate to give up free passes. Need a strikeout here. 3-2 with the runner on third. Here it comes, and it's fouled off again. So Guski is about to see a 10th pitch in this at-bat. A lot of times, too, when it's a battle between batter and pitcher, it's the batter that wins as you get deeper and deeper, as the pitcher has to show more and more stuff. Let's see what happens here. Runner will be going from third, 3-2, and there's a line drive, and it's going to cost the Evergreens a run. Now Wyatt Brown comes in, tried to make a play. He could not. It went off of his glove. A sinking line drive and another 2-out hit. And the Merrill Blue Jays bring in another run. They lead 5-0. Yes, it was Guski who won that battle.
Brian Stockiewicz.
It was a sinking line drive, and Wyatt Brown knew that he was going to keep the ball in front of him, so he dove for it, and it went off his glove, trapped on that sinking line drive. 5-0, and 6 hits for the Merrill Blue Jays. In fact, every one of their hits, except for that leadoff triple, has come with 2 outs. So 5 of the 6 hits, 2-out hits for the Blue Jays. And Brian Stockiewicz takes ball one. And for a pitcher like Burrell, it's got to be so frustrating. That was the 11th pitch in the at-bat, and it singled up the middle to center field. And you're battling and trying to get that strikeout and a couple of pitches that could have been strike three or fouled off. Burrell now throws over to first. Runner is back. 5-0. Evergreens trailing to the Merrill Blue Jays. And here's the pitch over for a strike. 1 ball, 1 strike. Yeah, the Merrill Blue Jays, very patient at the plate. Taking a lot of pitches. We've been deep in the count several times. Again, Burrell, three walks in the game, 3 strikeouts. So that's all indication that you're throwing a lot of pitches. 1-1 pitch here with 2 outs. And here it comes. And that's a fly ball to center field. That should end the inning. Wyatt Brown is settling under it and makes the catch. The Merrill Blue Jays get one more run on 2 hits at the end of 2.5. Merrill 5, DC Everest nothing on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9. Welcome back to Simon Field, where the Evergreens are going to have to cut into this lead a little bit at a time. They trail 5-0 to the Merrill Blue Jays. Need I remind you, the Evergreens trailed just a week ago to the Wausau West Warriors 7-0. Came back to win that game 9-7.
The bottom of the third inning.
Not sure you can count on that as being a game-playing strategy.
Cocker!
2, 3, and 4 to bat in the bottom of the third inning. That's Cody Cocker, Mike Plaza, and Wyatt Brown. These are big bats for the Evergreens, so a good chance to get something going here against Brian Stockiewicz. And here's the first pitch from Stockiewicz. Hard hit ground ball, but right at the second baseman. Cole Guski fields it cleanly, and Cody Cocker, first pitch swinging, has grounded out for a second time. Evergreens at the plate have been the exact opposite against Brian Stockiewicz. Evergreens have been aggressive early in the count. In fact, the last couple of games, the Evergreens have been taking a lot of swings at early pitches. And here's Mike Plaza. Plaza hit one on a line to the gap in right center field. It was a two-out double, and he was stuck there at second base. And the first pitch to Plaza is bounced in front of the plate for ball one. D.C. Everest Baseball, sponsored by InterCity State Bank, providing full-service banking for families and businesses. InterCity State Bank, come bank with us. Convenient locations in Wausau, Weston, and Schofield. Pitch to Plaza. Again, takes something off speed. Fouls that one off. It's one ball, one strike. Been fun to watch Plaza hit. Sometimes it's been an adventure to see Plaza in left field. A ball and a strike, off speed pitch, and that hit Michael Plaza. Yeah, Plaza did not take a fastball there. He took an off speed pitch that hit him in the small of the back. He's trying to twist and turn away from that, and instead it hit him right on the number 7. Wyatt Brown flied out to center field, stranding Mike Plaza at second. That first at-bat came with two outs. Wyatt here is batting with one out. So Plaza on first, bottom of the third inning, throw over, and Mike Plaza is back safely. Down at the concession stand for today's game, they printed a nice program honoring the seniors, their final regular season home game. Wyatt Brown saying in his little section of that senior write-up, looking forward to playing football for UW Stevens Point. Wyatt Brown fouls that one back for strike one. Says someday, wants the big house on the lake. Wyatt Brown, I know, enjoys fishing. I bet hunting, too, in his spare time. Northwoods outdoorsman Wyatt Brown. Fouls that first pitch back. There's a throw over to first. And Mike Plaza is back safely. No balls, one strike. It's been a full day of baseball on Fox Sports Radio. Our Woodchucks opener in La Crosse earlier today. Woodchucks home opener, which I know a lot of people are looking forward to at the renovated Athletic Park. That's coming up on Friday. Pitches outside to Wyatt Brown. One ball, one strike. So you heard starting off back at 4:45 this afternoon, the Wausau East-Wisconsin Rapids game. Two teams that are going to finish below 500 in conference play. Then Woodchucks, and now, of course, on tape delay, the D.C. Everest Evergreen struggling against Merrill. Wyatt Brown takes that fastball and fouls it down the first base line. Look out. Almost hit one of the cars passing on Jelnick Avenue. One, two, three cars. Well, two cars and the minivan. And the foul ball bounced right in front of that lead car. Went over the netting down the first base line and into the road. It's a ball and two strikes. See if Wyatt Brown can shorten up and make some contact here with the runner at first. Mike Plaza was kind of leaning the other way and had to dive back. Not sure, down by five, if you would put the runner in motion here. That's probably not the right way to play it here. I know you do anything to get someone in scoring position. Runner is not going. Wyatt Brown swings and misses. He is struck out. Wyatt Brown is the second out of the inning, and now Brady Burrell comes to bat.
The Evergreens, number 16.
And Burrell comes out with a new baseball that he hands to the home plate umpire. And I see a couple of our young Evergreens fans are, after looking both ways, going across the street to retrieve that earlier foul ball. Two outs and a runner on first base. The difference in this ball game, Merrill has been timely and has come up with a lot of two-out hitting, and the Evergreens have not. First pitch to Brady Burrell is down low. Just kind of flipping through my scorecard, what did Merrill do with two outs? See, they're 0 for 1. The Merrill Blue Jays are 4 of 6 at the plate with two outs in the ballgame. And the Evergreens, every time they've gotten two outs, the third out has come. So the Evergreens are 0 for 2 with two outs. And Brady Burrell trying to change that as we play the bottom of the third inning. Evergreens are trailing 5-0 and trying to get something going. Runner is going here, and Brady Burrell hit and run to the first baseman. It is fielded, though, by Brad Yulke. He takes it to the bag himself, and Brady Burrell is the third out. And the Evergreens, again, do not score.
For the Evergreens,
three innings complete. Merrill 5, Everest nothing. Back in a minute on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9. We go to the top of the fourth inning, and the Evergreens have made a pitching change. Brady Burrell is done from the mound. He will stay in the game and move to first base. The Evergreens' new pitcher is Austin Solomon. Solomon pitched in the earlier game to Merrill. He was not effective in that game, but Solomon is a better pitcher now than he was at that stage of the season. Austin Solomon on to pitch the top of the fourth inning in relief of Brady Burrell. It is Josh Merchant, who was starting at first base, who is now out of the game.
Mason Reinhart.
And Austin Solomon will face the top of the Merrill batting order. 1, 2, and 3. Again, Austin Solomon's job here is to keep this at a 5-0 game and hope that his team can launch a comeback. I mean, the early innings are over now. So we play the fourth. That officially puts us in the middle stages of this ballgame. And the Evergreens so far, not effective at the plate. Mason Reinhart, 0-for-1. First ball hitting, and that's a slow roller to short. Tough play for Alex Kell. On the run, safe. Just a chopped ball onto the infield grass, and Alex Kell was going to have to charge and was going to have a lightning-fast release, and Mason Reinhart beats it out. It is an infield single to greet Austin Solomon. And Merrill has put the lead runner on in every inning in this ballgame. And Alex Zettler to bat, 1-for-2. Zettler singled back in the second inning and put runners on second and third. He really set the table for Ty Grunewald, who then delivered with a triple. And the first pitch from Austin Solomon is down low. But we can complete the line on Brady Burrell, who worked 3 innings. He gave up 5 runs, and all of them were earned. He scattered 6 hits. In fact, Brady Burrell really was hit hard with 2 outs. So, you know, if there were just some situations where the Evergreens could have gotten out of some of those innings earlier on, this game would have looked differently. Brady Burrell struck out 3 and walked 3, and 2 of those 3 walks have come around to score. So that's been costly in Brady Burrell's line, and he leaves on the losing end of this 5-0 score. Evergreens ran over to first, big lead over there, and there's a throw that almost was in the dirt and passed first baseman Brady Burrell. Austin Solomon throwing over to keep Mason Reinhart close. And, of course, Merrill with the lead here has the luxury of running and sending that man down to second if they want to. Count is 1-ball, no strike. Quick delivery and a swing and a miss. One ball, one strike to Alex Zettler. Yeah, Merrill has 7 hits to the Evergreens, 2. Runner is going here. Swing and a miss. Throw down to second, and they got him! Nice throw by Mason Hagenbusher to his second baseman, Nathan Sleaford, and the runner is erased at second base. Nice throw down there from Mason Hagenbusher. A really nice job from the senior catcher. Put that throw right low and right on the bag, just where you want to put it. And back at the plate, it was strike 2 on Alex Zettler, so it's 1-ball and 2 strikes with 1 out. Now the bases are empty. Here's the pitch, and that one didn't miss by much up high. Instead, the count goes 2-2. We are in the top of the fourth inning, and that caught stealing, that throw out, finally something good happens for the Evergreens in the field. Otherwise, it's been a kind of one-sided game to this point. 2-2 pitch, there's a swing and a miss, and Austin Solomon has his first strikeout of the game. That's the second out here in the fourth.
Number 2, Ty
Grunewald. The dangerous Ty Grunewald to bat. Grunewald worked the count full and then took a pitch up high for ball 4 back in the first inning. In fact, that was the only walk that Brady Burrell issued that did not come around to score. First ball swinging here fouls that one off. And then Grunewald laced a triple back in the second. It was the third consecutive hit with 2 outs back in that second inning and brought in 2 runs. That's the big knock in this ball game so far. And Austin Solomon looks in and gets his sign. Here is his 0-1 pitch to Grunewald. Big cut at that and fouls it back to the screen. 2 balls and 2 strikes. Looking ahead to the bottom of the fourth inning, the Evergreens will send Sean Lutke, Nathan Sleaford, and then Austin Solomon, the pitcher who has just entered, would be scheduled to bat third in the bottom half of the fourth. Bases are empty, 0-2 with 2 outs. Here comes Austin Solomon's pitch. Couldn't get him to chase. That's down low. Evergreens Baseball is brought to you by Marshfield Clinic. Need help with a sports injury? See the expert sports medicine physicians at Marshfield Clinic. Marshfield Clinic, don't just live, shine. Solomon ready to deal at 1-ball and 2 strikes. Here It Comes, and misses down low there, two balls, two strikes. Trying to get Grunewald to chase. Again, he is one of the elite hitters in the Valley Conference. Don't want to give him too fat a pitch. In fact, that's where he got his triple the last time up. Want to work the count, work in and out here. Two balls, two strikes. Pitch to Grunewald again. Hard hit, ground ball to first. Brady Burrell fields it and takes it to the bag himself. And for the first time, the Evergreens get through an inning without allowing a run. So the Evergreens hold the score at 5-0. They'll be batting in the bottom of the fourth when we come back on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9.
One hit. Number 30.
Ready for the bottom of the fourth. I'm Chris Conley. Glad you are up late with us on Fox Sports Radio for our tape delay game. This sometimes happens towards the end of the high school season and once the woodchuck season begins. We're on the air right after the Woodchucks game goes final. Evergreen's batting in the bottom of the fourth, and first ball swinging is Sean Ludke, and he pops it up into shallow right field. And the right fielder, Adam Messerschmidt, is under it and makes the catch. One pitch and one out. Yeah, the Evergreens have done a lot of swinging early in the count, and they don't have much to show for it. Brian Stockiewicz has retired the lead batter in each of the four innings so far, and Nathan Sleaford is ready to bat for the Evergreens. Right-handed batter against the right-hander, Stockiewicz. Sleaford bounced out to first base his first time up. And it came, you know, the Evergreens had that scoring opportunity. They loaded the bases with two outs in the second inning and got nothing. Sleaford there takes up high. It's two balls and no strikes to Nathan Sleaford. Scheduled to bat next to the Evergreens would be the pitcher Austin Solomon, who came on to work the top of the fourth inning. Two balls, no strikes, and that pitch misses inside, so Sleaford has worked the count in his favor 3-0. And since you need base runners, and since you are trailing 5-0, I say that Sleaford needs to take a pitch here. 3-0, and that is over for a strike. 3-1. You might even ask him to take another pitch here, because what the Evergreens need is base runners. And 3-2 pitch, a slow grounder to short. Across the diamond, an accurate throw from Ty Grunewald, and there's the second out. Sleaford was swinging to protect. That would have been called a strike.
And
Austin Solomon will bat. Solomon has been used almost exclusively as a relief pitcher, which means he has seen limited at-bat opportunities. He has made the most of them. Solomon is 4-for-10 this season, and he takes the first pitch for ball one. Evergreens Baseball on Fox Sports Radio, sponsored by Valley Communities Credit Union. Their mission is to build lifelong relationships a member at a time, providing sound financial products and services. Pitches over for a strike to Austin Solomon, a ball and a strike. Valley Communities Credit Union invites you to find a branch near you at valleycommunities.org. Two outs and none on in the bottom of the fourth, and Austin Solomon with a ground ball to third. Slow roller, bobbled by Mason Reinhart, and there'll be no throw. Got to score an error there on Mason Reinhart. 31. Official scorekeeper telling us right away that that was a misplayed ball. Indeed it was. Mason Reinhart had that slow roller come right to him and didn't play it cleanly. Alex Kell will now have to make the most of this two-out, one-on situation. And the Evergreens are going to use a courtesy runner here.
40, Bryce Hines.
They'll send Bryce Hines down to first base.
Number 31.
As Austin
Alex
Solomon.
Kell.
We'll get to sit in the dugout because he's going to be run out to pitch again here in the fifth inning. Alex Kell was hit by a pitch first time up. Kell had two hits in the game against Lakeland, and then earlier in the week, Kell had a 3-for-3 game. So Alex Kell, he's been a good bat for the Evergreens here in the later parts of the year. Two outs and a runner on. The Evergreens still trying to get themselves on the scoreboard. Throw out over to first base. And Bryce Hines dives back safely. Runner can absolutely not be picked off in this situation. Here's the pitch to Alex Kell. Pops that up down the first base line. This is going to be foul. And lands over the head of first baseman Brad Yulke in foul ground. No balls and a strike. wonder what they're listening to down at the concession stand today. Usually they'll have our Fox Sports broadcast on, but of course we're not on live today because of the earlier Woodchucks game. Polkas or the chicken dance or something like that? Who knows? Throw over to first, runners back. Merrill is up 5-0. And we're halfway through this game here. Bottom of the fourth inning. Evergreens with two outs, and they have a runner at first. Evergreens being out hit 7-2. And here's the pitch, foul back. No balls and two strikes to Alex Kell. The Evergreens' hits belong to Mike Plaza and Josh Merchant. Merchant exited the ballgame when Brady Burrell was pulled in the top of the fourth inning from the pitching rubber and moved over to first base. So one of those two successful hitters not even in the lineup here. Throw over, Bryce Hines, the runner at first base, is back safely. That runner there is a result of an error. And now Alex Kell trying to make contact at 0-2. That pitch is low, gets by the catcher, and the runner is going to advance a wild pitch for Brian Stockiewicz. Stockiewicz threw that low and in the dirt, and his catcher Alex Klug was unable to get down low and block it. Now the Evergreens, for just the second time in the ballgame, have put a runner into scoring position. Again, they had the bases loaded with two outs in the second and came away with nothing. Alex Kell needs a two-out hit to the outfield to bring this run in. A ball and two strikes. Stockiewicz with his delivery, and that misses up high. It's two balls and two strikes. If the inning continues, the top of the order comes up. Mason Hagenbusher is awaiting on deck. Alex Kell has a couple of two-strike hits so far in the season. See if he can deliver here. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Here it comes. Did he check his swing there? Going to wait and see if there's an appeal. I'm not sure if Kell went far enough. They're going to wait for the appeal, and the umpire says no, and the runner steals third base. Because there was confusion, the Merrill catcher waiting for appeal, there was no time called here, and that runner successfully has third base. So Merrill has all kinds of complaints here. They don't like the call for the on the check swing, and they don't like that the runner went from second to third. It's still a live ball on the appeal. That runner's got third base. And they're sending him back? Oh, that's not right. The ball is live on the appeal. How are they sending him back?
One like that.
Because the umpire pointed him back. That's not the right call. The ball suddenly doesn't become dead in an appeal situation there. In fact, the ball has to be live for an appeal. So the runner on second should be on third. Three balls, two strikes. See if the Evergreens can make him pay. Checked his swing. Ooh, and it's called strike three, and the inning comes to a close. Just when Merrill thought things were going against them, suddenly things went against the Evergreens. Alex Kell has struck out. The Evergreens leave a runner who should have been on third at second.
No runs.
And the inning comes to a close with still no runs across. Four innings complete. And Merrill leads the Everest Evergreens 5-0. Back in a minute on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9.
And the guy said, no, he didn't go.
But he did.